It's sort of amazing what you guys are doing here, and driving to Rockville just reminded me of how special this place is. I mean, I come in and there's a band and there's people walking on the streets and people are getting stimulated, watching dance inside a full story glass window, and they're hugging, and all of these things are created because Rockville decided to create them, right? Rockville wanted this kind of a space. And I have over here a trailer, which is very informational about the project. And then what loops after it is kind of a longer, slower documentary. But I think the spirit of that documentary, from my point of view, is really that idea that there's a diminishment of public space as a worldwide phenomenon. And that's for a lot of reasons. Corporations, even the increasing of cement, increases corporate ownership to just policies of quasi-public-private partnerships. Things that used to be public that don't have funding are now private. And coming from an artist's point of view is really coming from the point of view like you here tonight. You know, what gives me energy? What gives me stimulation? You know, as a young artist, especially, like, just wandering through the streets in New York, being able to go to Canal Street and get my plastic and run to 40th Street and get my textiles and bike to my studio over the bridge and just kind of owning that and being stimulated by narratives everywhere I went. And how watching that opportunity kind of get smaller, and how policy decisions like opening a bridge or closing a bridge can completely change access, where people are allowed to go, what you look like in what space, how you're treated, all of those things are planned. And my preservation was really about some kind of free will and creativity and being able to wander in the public. And for the piece, that was translated, free will might have been translated into something more practical, something more tangible like free speech. And the heart of the value going into Nonument was really about places in transition and creating a discussion around them. And the discussion about McKeldin Fountain in McKeldin Square in the heart of Baltimore, the busiest intersection. You can't get in and out of Baltimore without going through this intersection right in the Inner Harbor, is about free speech. It was a free speech zone. It was where Occupy was. And second, it was a utopian modernist monument, and really a piece of artwork, you know, a half acre, three multi-story passageways. And I could go on and on about the architecture. I promised myself I wouldn't. But still, something that holds mid-20th century values, and those values are gone. You can't be an impressionist painter in 2019. You can't create mid-century utopian architecture in the 21st century. It's gone. So there's an artistic loss, whether you like it or not. You know, it's a documentation of where our ideals were at a moment. And when those ideals are wave in and out of fashion, the idea is to not destroy it when it's on the low end. So those are the two principles that motivated this piece. The idea of making an app was really an act of both free will and protest, that we have agency in our public space. And so that if you can, you can all download the app tonight to your iPhones or Android phones, and you can hold it up like a protest sign, and you can put the fountain back. You can put it back here, you can put it back in McKeldin Square, and it's our sort of gesture of ownership. So I'd like to show you the trailer. If you can, maybe you might want to come close because it's really hard to hear in this space, and it's kind of informational, and I think it'll help start a discussion, hopefully.
So did you know it was going to be destroyed, so you were able to document it?
Yeah.
So they could just turn the water off right away?
Yeah, so the whole process was maybe a 7-year process. The first, you know, it was like a campaign. And first they stopped planting the plants, and then they would turn the water off. And, you know, that's the stuff I sort of put on the timeline, just a way to document
right.
and try to figure it out, right?
And,
yeah, they would, the water would be on intermittently, and then they would, the electricity would start to go up, and then people would start to go, yeah, it is ugly. And so then the campaign, you know, would build momentum. So yes, we did know it was going to be torn down. We were looking for a site that was a place where multiple types of people gathered organically, and that was going to be, or that was in a state of transition, so that organicness would change. And I see it as kind of like No Monument, which is my Slovenian collaborator's name. Nea Tomschitz and Martin Barajo, who I should mention, who are doing other Nonument projects in Europe. And to us, these people, you know, there's like 18 people with like 21 little video clips in the app of them, that they are like the hero on the bronze horse that's permanent. They're like our ephemeral heroes. So it's really kind of that, a monument to everyday people.
What replaced the fountain? What did they build?
Grass.
Light.
Christmas lights. Somebody asked me once, did you do the Christmas lights? Really, really cheap. I mean, it's closed off now. I don't know why. So yeah, there's a lot of, you know, they put out a campaign and they got architects to do drawings about what they wanted to do, and then the community rebelled against that because they didn't include the community, and they were also putting a new fountain in, which was dumb because we had a fountain. And so they say they're going to put out an RFQ that could be publicly responded to, but they haven't done it. It's just crap.
Well, thank you, Lisa.
Sure, thank you for having me.
Just been here. You can ask her more questions. I have to scurry next door to open